brother.
Thank you. Let's open our Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hope everybody had a safe and happy new year. If I haven't seen you since last year, happy new year. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 1, and it is our custom to stand around here as we read, opening up the sermon, the message. If you would stand out of love and respect for God's word, and I know we don't stand for every verse that we read, but aren't you glad we don't? I mean, we could, I suppose. I don't guess you'd be falling asleep that much if I did that. Okay, stand up. I'm going to turn to this verse. Okay, sit back down. Stand up. I'm going to turn to this verse. No, I'm going to pray about that. Yeah. Some of you are getting nervous now, aren't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them which are that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful.
Amen.
God is faithful. Those are three of my favorite words in the whole Bible, in the whole world. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I want to preach to you, if you would, back there in verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ. I want to try to preach to you this morning on the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you would overcome this place with your spirit.
Yes.
You would pour out your anointing, Father, on this place. I pray you would touch me, touch my heart, my mind, my lips, Lord God. Cleanse me, fill me. Lord, I pray for every soul sitting here, Lord God, every person here represented and by the body that they are contained in, Father, is an eternal soul. Lord, some are struggling, some are saved, some are unsaved, some are wandering, some are on fire. Lord God, whatever the case may be, help me, God, to be a blessing to them. I pray for your Holy Spirit to take full control now. Yes. Don't let the devil hinder.
Yes.
Lord God, please pour out your spirit, your power, and your presence. May your glory be felt in this place. We need you, Lord. Father, we're unable to take another step. We don't desire, we don't want to take another step without your help, your strength, and your grace. Please, oh God, help us tonight, this morning. We want you to be glorified in this place. Lord, may Jesus be lifted up. Lord God, may every eye be drawn to Him.
Yes.
In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The theme for the new year, 2018, here in our church is draw near to God.
Amen.
Draw near to God. And it's based on Psalm 73, verse 28, which says, "It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works."
Amen.
And I believe, honestly, church, I don't think I have to convince you, but I believe that if we could grasp this concept of drawing near to God this year, we would see revival.
Yes.
in our lives. And I'm talking about just a renewing of our love for Jesus, a re-stirring of the fire that burns in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, revival in our personal lives, revival in our church, revival in our city. God knows it could spread to the state of Texas. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of hope for Oklahoma, but it might go around there. Are y'all awake now? Anybody from Oklahoma? Good. All right. You just don't want to admit it since I just said that, right? I'm not raising my hand. Anyway. There are going to be this year, listen, I don't know who of you are going to take it seriously, but by the grace of God, I want to take it seriously, of drawing near to God. I promise you there will be results.
Amen.
There will be good, godly results drawing near to God. And I'm going to go over that a little bit more tonight and over the next few weeks. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to start kind of a series of messages as the Lord leads, not so much on the results of drawing near to God, but on the road that get us there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
The road to get us there, if you will. You understand, we've got to take some action. As far as I can tell, when God says it's good for us to draw near, then he's trying to give us some incentive.
Yeah. Right.
He's trying to give us some motivation to draw close to him. In other words, though, he's trying to give us some motivation, but he's not going to drag us.
Right.
He's not dragging us. He's not pushing us. He's simply telling us it's going to be good. It's going to be better than it was before if you'll draw near to God, if you'll draw nigh unto him. God's trying to draw us closer all the time, though.
Right.
All the time.
Man.
Everything he does is for that purpose, to draw us closer to him.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, the way we respond to it is going to dictate whether we draw closer.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
That's right.
But everything he's doing is doing it on purpose to draw us closer to him. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your life per se, as far as details and personal problems and burdens, and maybe just victories. I mean, come on. Let's not forget that to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. But all of the victories, all of the battles, all of the mountaintops, all of the valleys, they're intended for us to draw closer to God.
That's right. Amen, preacher.
I mean, after all, God's trying to tell us it's good for you to draw near, so therefore he's not going to do anything to push us away.
That's right.
Doesn't that compute with you? If God says it's good for us to draw near to him, then how could he possibly do something to push us away?
Yeah.
Then that would be unfair. That would be unjust.
Right. Yep.
That's not God. There's no unrighteousness in him at all. So he's trying to draw us near. He says it's good for us to draw near. He's giving us incentives. He's telling us it's good. He's motivating us. It's good. But listen to me. If we're going to draw near, let me use this example. If I was going to get closer to Fort Worth today, I would have to go out here on the right road and go in the right direction. Okay? You understand? I mean, that's simple. I mean, that's simple to understand, but it's the same concept when it comes to drawing closer to God. There is a right road, and there's a right direction, if you will, understanding that God says, I want to be abundantly clear this morning, there's only one road.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Yeah.
One finger. I don't care which finger you use, just one finger. There's only one road, and that is Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
It's good for me to draw near to God. There's only one. He said, I am the way.
Yeah.
Jesus said that in John 14, verse 6. There's only one way. There's only one road. There's only one highway. There's only one avenue. There's only one street. I don't care which word you use. There's only one road to draw near to God, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
However, listen now, there are several aspects involved in staying on that right road.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about, I'm going to get to this in a minute, but I'm talking about getting on the road that's going to draw us nearer to God, and then staying on that road and continuing in the right direction. That, I believe that's what God is trying to say to us in this verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. In other words, he's always working.
That's right.
Yep.
He's never going to change. change. Like I said, New Year's Eve, he's not going to become a different God in 2018. But you know what? We could have a different perspective of him by the grace of God.
Yeah.
I think that's what God wants. When he says, draw near unto me, draw nigh to God, it's good for me to draw near to God, because I need to get closer so I can understand more about him. But the key thought is, God says he has called us, in verse 9, unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ. So it was God that called us. It was God that wooed us. It was God that drew us. But it was unto, and he's always working to draw us closer to himself. Don't forget all that now. But he's doing that through the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because remember, Jesus is the only road.
Yep. Amen.
So, fellowship. That's an interesting word, isn't it? I think it's a word that I want to. It's easy to figure out, but let me just give you some synonyms, if you don't mind. It means to be united.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Okay. Come here, Samuel. Stand right there, and face me, and shake my hand. You see that right there is a picture of fellowship.
Right.
Yeah. The Bible talks about the right hand of fellowship. What that means is Samuel and I have united ourselves in the right hand of fellowship.
Yep.
With the right hand of fellowship. This is it's unity. It's togetherness. We are now together.
Amen.
Literally grasping each other in fellowship. Now that's a picture of fellowship. It means to be united. It means to be in a covenant bond.
Yep.
Yep.
And you know, it used to be in America, and that was you know, a man's handshake was as good as a signature on the bottom, on the dotted line. My word, my handshake. I'm giving you my word. I'm shaking my hand on it. That was a bond. That was an agreement. Okay, a covenant agreement. And God says God is faithful, and he has called us unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ. Understand, if we're going to draw near to God, we must maintain our fellowship.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
With Jesus.
Yeah.
Our unity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With Christ.
Right.
Our participation with Christ.
Amen.
Our bond with Christ.
Amen.
Our covenant with Christ.
Uh-huh.
Quickly, how are we going to do this? I'm not going to get through all of this morning, but the number one thing, obviously, I think is not going to skip anybody's mind here is salvation.
Yeah.
Look up in verse 2 of the scripture I just read. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Called to be saints. That is salvation.
Yeah.
To be sanctified means to be set apart in Christ Jesus. It means to be called out of your lost, condemned condition, of your darkness and death, and called out and set aside and set apart in Christ. Not because you were good enough, not because you deserved it or you earned it somehow, but because God called you unto sanctification. And notice, it's in Christ.
Amen.
The only reason I'm sanctified is because I'm in Christ. The only reason I'm set apart, or the only thing that makes me different is Christ.
Right. Yeah.
The only thing that makes a Christian any different than anybody else is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And when God says that he's called us, he's sanctified us in Christ Jesus, called, verse 2, called to be saints.
Yeah.
He has called us and set us aside, sanctified us, and put us in Jesus Christ. And now that has put us on the road.
Yeah. Amen.
That put us on the road to draw nearer to God. Now, you have to get on the road before you can stay on it.
Yeah.
You have to get in Christ before you can have any fellowship with Christ. You have to be saved. In other words, salvation is in the Bible referred to as being in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 16, perfect verse for the new year. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're on a new road, amen. All things are passed away. The old road is behind you.
Yeah, that's right.
The old fellowship is behind you. Now you're a new creature because you're in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things, and that means because you've been put in Christ. You could call it, you could say this, you've been put on the road.
Yeah.
You've been put in the way. Right? Now, that doesn't mean in the way of a Mack truck. It means you've been put on the road that leads to God. You've been put on the road that gives you, listen, that starts the relationship with God. That's just the beginning, though, church. Listen to me. That's just the beginning. So many people right now have professed Jesus Christ. They have accepted Christ. They have been saved. They have been born again, and they are just stalled out right there.
Yeah, that's right.
Stalled out. That's it.
Yep.
There's no fellowship with Christ that way.
That's right.
They're certainly not drawing near to God.
Yeah.
There's nothing happening in their life. They got saved, and glory to God, if they got born again, listen to me, that's forever. That's because God's grace. God loved them enough and gave them eternal life. And he did, but he didn't just call them to just stall out right there.
That's right. Yeah.
By the way, that's the most boring, the most worthless life you could live is as a Christian with all the potential of Christ in you, yet doing nothing. Just stalling out right there where you stopped, where you got saved. That's not what God wants. God says, I want you to come into the fellowship of my Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to come into a unity with Him, into a participation with Him, into a bond of covenant, an agreement with Him to start doing and drawing closer to me through your fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say one thing real quick. I'm not talking about a road that leads to salvation.
That's right.
Be careful now. I didn't say that. I said this is the road of salvation.
Yes.
In other words, there is no road that leads to salvation.
Right.
Salvation's not a destination.
Yeah.
Salvation is a decision to trust Christ.
Right. Amen, brother.
Salvation is not a means to an end. It's the man, Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Salvation isn't a journey.
That's right.
It's Jesus.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
Salvation's not a trip. It's a transformation.
That's right. Amen.
Salvation's not a convoy or a caravan. It's a conversion.
Yeah.
It is a new birth. Are you with me? It's not some kind of sightseeing Sunday afternoon drive. I don't know. I never, my family, maybe we're strange, but we'd never go on Sunday afternoon drives.
Yeah.
You can if you want to, that's fine, but Sunday afternoon is for one thing, amen. Sunday afternoon is nap time. Go home and eat lunch and take a nap, hallelujah.
Amen.
But salvation is not some kind of sightseeing drive through the hills of anywhere. It is a soul-saving, sin-forgiving, immediate, life-changing Jesus Christ taking you from darkness to light, from death unto life, amen, and giving you everlasting, eternal resurrection and life.
Amen.
Salvation is not a road. There's not a road that you can... Well, I've talked to people before, and they've told me, well, I'm working on it. Have you been saved? Well, I'm working on it. And I understand that they're confused. I understand that maybe someone told them that, but that's not in the Bible.
Right.
Salvation is an immediate transformation. Yeah. Salvation is being born again. Boom. Yeah. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and now God has given you everlasting life through your faith, by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation, though, listen, that's the only on-ramp to this road.
Yep, that's right.
That's the only, I'm talking about the road that will lead us to drawing near to God. The road that will lead us to drawing closer unto our God. I'm not talking about some road to heaven, okay? Once I'm saved, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to understand what I'm saying. I don't want anybody to get confused here. I'm going to go home and tell somebody that I said that there's a road that you got to walk down to get saved. No. You've got to get saved to get on the road, period. But once you're on the road, listen to me, there's a lot of people that are just stalled out. They're just sitting there.
Right.
Have you ever been broke down on the highway?
Yeah.
Don't tell me you ran out of gas. I only did that once. I ran out of gas. How did that happen? I don't know. It had to be my wife's fault. Had to be. I can't take responsibility for that. But listen, that is a miserable feeling. To be broke down on the side of the road. And people are just whizzing by you thinking, I want to go too. Help. That's a miserable feeling.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm afraid there's a whole lot of saved people.
Yeah.
Everywhere you look on the side of the road.
Yeah, that's right.
It just stalled out.
Right.
Any number of reasons. But I promise you that's not where God wants you to be.
That's right.
I promise you that's not how God wants you to live the rest of your life. And if you're really born again, you're going to kind of feel like I did. Help me. I don't want to sit here the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Man.
Amen.
God says He's called us unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. And right off the bat, then, salvation is the first step.
That's right.
I'm telling you, you probably know somebody in your family, a friend maybe that you work with, who thinks their religion is all it takes.
Yes, sir.
And you, if you've been around them long enough, you look at them and you realize they have nothing.
Uh-huh.
They have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
They have no peace.
That's right.
They're no different than the rest of the world.
That's right.
Because again, let me say this to you. The only thing that makes us any different is Christ.
Right.
The only way that I'm sanctified or called out and made different is because I'm put in Christ.
Right. Yeah.
But a person who's trusting religion and works and honesty and integrity and all of those good character qualities, but they don't have Christ, they're just as lost as everybody else.
That's right. That's right.
They're miserable.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
They're not even on the road.
Yeah.
I know people like that, and so do you.
Yeah.
And I used to be one of them.
Yeah. Amen.
But I remember the day. Hallelujah. May 13th, 2004, 3551 Cindy Drive in Fort Worth, Texas. Right about 2:30 in the afternoon, I got born again. I didn't head down a road journey and finally end up at my destination. No. I got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. And God sanctified me and put me on the road to draw near to Him. God put me on the everlasting life road of salvation. I didn't earn it. I simply trusted Christ. And God gave me entrance into His kingdom. God saved me.
Amen.
And listen, I'm telling you what, there's no greater joy than to know once and for all that you are saved, that you are eternally born again. And listen, but that is not the end. That is only the beginning.
Amen.
I want you to understand salvation is the beginning to get on the road, but it's the only way to get in fellowship. Now, number two, and I'll spend more time on this today, and then we'll probably close with this. I start off on the road with salvation. That gets me in fellowship with Jesus. And then as I draw closer to God in fellowship with Jesus, listen, it's going to take heavy, regular doses of Scripture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Scripture. Look in verse 3. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. How would I ever know that God has grace for me? How would I ever know that God has peace that He wants to give me? Except I read it in the Scripture.
Yes. That's right.
Listen, I think the more we study the Bible and we figure out, I'm gonna try to slow down so I don't lose anybody. The more you study the Bible, you start to figure out, okay, this is the human author, this is the context, this is the person it was written to, this is what was going on during that time in history, and you start to kind of understand more about the human side of. But wait a minute. What that does many times, speaking for myself and probably others, is we lose sight of the fact that that's God's word to me.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let me illustrate. This is the Apostle Paul. the human author, under the inspiration of God, writing to the church. It says there in verse 1, to the church at Corinth. Okay, it's a letter that he physically wrote, and it was sent to the church there, the believers in Corinth, in the city of Corinth there in Greece. Now, so we think, well, that's for them. That he wants them to have grace. He wants them to have the peace. No, but see, and we forget the fact that, no, that's God's word to all believers. Notice what it says there. It says there in verse 2, unto the church of God at Corinth, yes, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Yeah, that's me.
Yep, amen.
I'm not at the church in Corinth, I know that, but I am saved, amen. Called to be saints. And notice it says, with all that in every place, and that includes Denton, Texas in 2017. This is for me.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
This is for you.
Yep.
In other words, what I'm saying to you is that I would never know that it's God's desire, it's not just Paul's desire for Corinth, it's God's desire that God's grace be given unto me. It's God's desire that His peace fill my heart.
Right.
Do you see the difference there? Instead of, okay, well, you know, we get in Bible Institute and we break down things and because it gives us greater understanding. But let's not forget the number one priority here is this is God's word to His people.
Yes, right.
And you and me would have, but yet, how would you ever know that, preacher? Right. How would I ever know that God has grace that He wants to give me?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Amen.
How would I ever know that God has all the peace in the world, that He can fill my heart with peace?
Yeah.
I've got to read it.
Yeah.
I've got to get in the Scripture.
Yeah.
And see, you understand, John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That Word, Jesus, was the living Word of God.
Yeah.
This is the written Word of God.
Yeah.
When the Bible says in the book of Revelation that when He comes back on that white horse, that the Bible says His name is the Word of God.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus' name. So if I'm going to have fellowship with Jesus, well, what better place to go than to Jesus?
Yeah, that's right.
That probably didn't shock you, did it? But I think it does surprise many Christians.
Yeah.
It's really that. It is really that simple. Yet it's really seeming to be that elusive.
Yep.
How do I have fellowship with Christ? Well, I've got to be saved to get on the road, but then I need to be in the Scripture, you understand. Notice verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by who?
Jesus. Right.
How would I know that if I didn't read that?
That's right. Amen.
How would I know that? Listen, Jesus is going to give me grace.
Right. Yeah.
The one who saved me. This is not just going to leave me. Okay, I'm going to throw you up on the shore there now, and I'm going to go fishing for somebody else. No, he's going to keep giving me grace.
Right.
He's going to keep giving me peace.
Yeah.
He's going to keep being everything I need. But how would I know that if I did not read it in the Bible?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? This morning, we need the grace of God. We need the wisdom of God. But it comes by Jesus Christ, the written Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Many people are stalled out, or their engine's starting to choke a little bit. You know, miss. You're starting to miss.
Yep.
You're starting to run out of gas. Your spark plugs aren't firing. Your fire's getting cold.
Amen.
And it's because you have no fellowship with this book.
That's right.
Because this book is going to remind you,
yep,
who Jesus is.
Amen.
Who you are in Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
And what Jesus has to do and give you.
That's right.
Praise God.
The grace of God doesn't come by osmosis. No, it comes by Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Understand, look again in verse 5. That in everything ye are enriched by Him. That's going back to verse 4, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
In everything ye are enriched by Christ. Now, wait a minute. What is going on in your life right now? Well, preacher, you just don't know. God does.
Yep.
Preacher, you just don't understand. No, God does. And He says that in everything, by Jesus, you are enriched.
Yes, that's
right.
You are made better.
Yep.
This is making me better. If you'll have fellowship with Jesus, it will.
That's right.
Yep.
You see, we don't look at it. We look at the scriptures like, okay, I got to read my Bible. Okay, I'm done. That's not fellowship.
That's right.
There's no connection there with Jesus.
That's right.
There's no handshake with Jesus. Okay, I'm connected to Christ when I'm in this book. No, it's just like, I got to read my Bible. Preacher's going to talk about it again on Sunday. I got to read my Bible. I got to read my Bible through the year. Okay, I'm going to read my Bible this year. Okay, what's next? Check, what's next? Now, I wish you would at least do that.
Amen.
But if that's all you do, you won't keep doing that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because you're not even thinking about what's... You're supposed to be entering into that Word of God as because you're entering into fellowship with the living Word, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Do you see the difference, church? Somebody say amen. Do you see the difference?
Amen.
It's a big difference. And then just checking off a list on some type of duty sheet that I've got to do, a chore list. I've got to read my Bible, and then I've got to do this, and then I've got to do that. Then I've got, you know... But wait a minute. Where's the fellowship with Jesus? You see, look at verse 9. God is faithful.
Yeah.
How would you know that without the Bible?
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, this is elementary, preacher. It should be.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are missing it. There's a lot of stalled out people on the side of the road that draws them nearer to Christ because they do not get the point that the Scripture is my source of peace and grace and, well, all things.
That's right. Amen.
Everything I need for all things, God is enriching me through the Word of God, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Amen.
We have so much to be thankful for. We have promises from Genesis to Revelation, and we have reminders and illustrations, and we have records that are eternal in heaven, settled forever, of God's grace and His peace and His mercy and His faithfulness and His strength and His love and His compassion and His salvation, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. His righteousness, His holiness, His almighty power, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His omniscience. We just have verse after verse after verse, and all God says is, come into my word and fellowship with my Son, Jesus Christ, and I promise you, you'll draw closer to
Amen.
Me.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, there's about 5 million, no, it's way more than that, but at least 5 million people martyred simply because they would not give up that book. They would not give up the copy. They didn't even have the whole thing.
Thank you, Lord.
All they had was a very worn out copy, just a ripped piece of a manuscript. They had a copy of it, and they would pass it around within their family, and they would read it and memorize it and study it and weep over it. It was precious to them. It was everything to them. And they went. They were burned at the stake. They were sawn asunder. They were buried alive. They were drowned. They were killed because they would not release that precious book to anybody or for anything.
Yes, right.
Amen.
And today,
come on,
we've got about 5 copies in every room of our house.
Yeah.
I'm preaching to myself too. I've got Bibles everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And thank God for it.
Amen.
But really, how much fellowship do you have with it?
Yeah, come on.
I could take you out in my little prayer closet that I have at the house, and I could show you tear stains on my pages. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
I could show you tears of joy, tears of conviction, but it's fellowship.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fellowship with my Savior, the Son of God, through His Word.
Amen.
I mean, do you get it?
Yeah.
Do we get it?
Amen.
This book is our source of fellowship with Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
It's not another book. Look in Romans 15, just one page before that, verse 13. Romans 15, 13. Now the God, notice, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Wow, what a verse! Now that's got hope in it for you. That's got joy in it. That's got peace in it. That's got believing faith in it. That's got abounding hope. That's got the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And that's all in one verse.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
But how would you know that if it weren't for that book?
Yeah, that's right.
You wouldn't. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How would I know that without that book?
That's right.
How would I know that?
Yeah.
How could I quote it to you if I didn't know it was in the Bible? I couldn't.
Right.
I mean, I would hope and grasp it, but I can quote to you the Word of God, and I can, listen. It is faithful. It is God. It is as much God as God is God, and it cannot be changed. It cannot be burned out. It cannot be destroyed. It's God's Word, and I know it. It's in my heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. How would I know that if it wasn't for that Bible?
That's right.
I wouldn't.
That's right.
How would I even know that we're supposed to go to church? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together.
Yep.
In Hebrews 10:25. How would I know that, Alyssa, if it weren't for the Bible?
Amen. Yeah.
How would I know I'm supposed to preach the Bible? See, he wouldn't know that if it weren't for that book. The Bible says to preach the Word of God. How would I know that if it weren't for that book? Listen, the preaching of the Word of God, though, that's the power of God.
Yeah.
How would I know that? I wouldn't. Brother Worcester, fear thou not, for I am with thee.
Amen.
Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. How would I know that without that book? What would I have to stand on? What would I have to rely on? What would I have to lean on if it wasn't for that book?
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I wouldn't.
Yep.
That's right.
I wouldn't.
That's right.
I wouldn't know anything.
Yep.
Turn with me quickly to Psalm 119. I'll show you three things and we're going to close. Psalm chapter 119. The fellowship of Jesus through salvation to get me on the road, through Scripture to keep me moving forward. Psalm 119, look in verse 25 first. My soul, Psalm 119, 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. You know, that is a discouraged person who is cleaving to, he's not dead because he's talking. Amen. My soul cleaveth. So he's not dead. But he is discouraged down to the dirt.
That's right. Yep.
The word quicken means to make me alive.
Yep.
To awake me up. To stir me up again.
Mm-hmm.
He says, my soul is, Lord, lower than a rat. I am the dirt underneath the rat's feet.
Yeah.
What's the answer? Quicken thou me according to thy word.
Amen. That's right.
Listen, you know, when we're talking about drawing near to God, I'm going to be just as honest as I can. I try to be honest to you all the time unless something my flesh tries to take over. But the truth of the matter is, discouragement will get you out of fellowship with Jesus in a hurry.
Yeah, that's right.
In a hurry. You'll get down where you feel like I'm not the snake. I'm the snake's belt buckle. I am lower than the snake. I am lower than the rat. I'm not even on the rocks. I'm under the rocks.
Help us.
What's the answer? The Word of God.
That's right.
How am I going to stay on this road, keep drawing near to God? The Scriptures will make you alive. The Scriptures will return your courage. The Scriptures will lift your eyes and reawaken your faith.
That's right.
Look in verse 107 of the same chapter. Verse 107. 119, 107. I am afflicted very much. Now, I'm talking. Now, this is written by a Christian. Okay, Psalm 119 is God's word again. But let's not get. But we understand it's written by a man named David. But he is still a human being, and he's still trying to draw near to God. He's still in Christ. He's still saved. But listen, he's afflicted very much. Somebody lied to you if they told you that the Christian life was a piece of cake. Somebody lied to you if they told you that the Christian life was a walk in a bed of roses. They forgot to tell you about the thorns. Don't walk barefoot. I am afflicted how much?
Very much.
I'm not going to get you hooping and hollering right now, but understand this is reality. While you're drawing near to God this year, you can expect affliction.
That's right. Man.
You better listen to me.
That's right.
As I tell you what God says. Right. Your hope is this book.
That's right. Amen.
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 I am afflicted very much. What am I doing? Well, I'm trying to draw near to God. Okay. Do you think that the devil's happy with that?
No.
Do you think your lost loved ones are happy with that?
No.
Do you think your unsaved friends are happy with that? Do you think your carnal family members are happy with that?
No, preacher.
Do you think Satan is going to just lay down and say, okay, just you just go right ahead? No, 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 no. I'm afflicted very much.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
What's the answer? But it's not some kind of secret formula. It's right here in the Bible. The Bible says, O Lord, quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word.
Yep. Amen.
That's right.
You know, this Bible is like a it's like those electric shocks they give to the person whose heart's out of rhythm and quitting and stopping. And they put those paddles on there, that defibrillator they call it, and they put that, and your heart's just going all out of whack, and you're and it's and they put those and they shock you back, and you're like, and that's what this book's going to do.
That's right.
Amen.
Your soul's about to lay down and die.
Yeah.
You're just about ready to give up. You're afflicted on every hand. You know what's going to quicken you? What's going to shock you back to life? This book.
That's right. Yep.
Amen.
It's not some type of secret formula that you just can't figure out. No, 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 no. You just need to quit trying to make it so complicated. Yeah. Get in the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Look at verse 154. Verse 154. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Now, doesn't that sound like maybe an accused person in a courtroom saying to their attorney, plead my cause.
Yeah.
Plead my cause. I can't speak for myself. You plead my cause.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that sound like an attorney, attorney-client type of thing where the client said to their representative, plead my cause. And what? Are you looking at it? What does it say?
Deliver me.
In other words, if you don't deliver me, listen, here's what's happening. I'm being accused falsely.
Right. Yeah.
I'm being accused of something that I didn't do.
Yeah.
The world is blaming me for all of their problems.
Mm-hmm.
Ahab, Elijah.
Uh-huh.
The world is blaming me for the. They're all. They're saying I'm the reason that they're missed. They're saying I'm the reason that they can't. They're saying I'm the reason that their families. They're saying it's God's fault. They're saying I'm stupid for plead my cause.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you don't plead my cause and deliver me, they're going to convict me and hang me.
Yep.
You see, listen to me. What's the answer?
Word of God.
Word of God.
Quicken thou me according to thy word.
Yep.
When you see, people are blaming you.
Yeah.
They're accusing you and putting you on trial. Here, listen to me. Now, listen. Don't miss this one statement. If you're not careful, you're going to start believing them.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
you're going to start believing them. Because after all, there's so many of them.
Yep.
And so few of you.
That's right.
Matter of fact, there's only one of you. There's so many of them saying so many things that are contrary.
Yep.
But when I go back to the Bible,
yeah, right,
I realize, God, you're right.
Yep.
You're right.
That's right. Amen.
They're wrong.
Right.
You're right.
Amen.
They're wrong. But see, if you don't do that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to keep hearing that.
Uh-huh.
And hearing that. And hearing that. And you're going to hear it from work, school, family, friends, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, maybe they're right.
Yeah, small preacher.
Maybe they're right.
Mom.
Maybe they're right. And dearly beloved, that's exactly what they want you to believe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Elijah was up on that mountain with 850 false prophets. 850, that's a big church.
Yeah.
He was. It wasn't just 850 false prophets. Then it was all the people of Israel that were following them.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he's up there saying, God, if you don't come through, if you don't plead my cause and deliver me here, I'm going to look like a big idiot.
Amen.
I want you to turn over there with me. I'm going to show it to you. We're done. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And let's just jump down to verse 34. The 850 prophets, the false prophets of Baal, they have spent all day long trying to get their God to rain down fire on their sacrifice. They tried to get their God to bless their sacrifice. They were cutting themselves. They were just making fools of themselves for hours and hours and hours, praying to their God. But when it came time for Elijah to pray to his God, let's jump up to verse 33. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, that was the cow, the offering, laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. They did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. Now listen, that's what, how many barrels of water is that? 12 barrels? Okay, that's a lot of water. Now remember, the deal is that God's going to have to send fire from heaven to burn up this offering to prove that he accepts Elijah's offering and not the false offerings of Baal. Listen now, but if I'm trying to burn something up, I don't pour 12 barrels of water on it.
Right.
I don't pour 12 barrels of water. I want it to be dry. But I'm pouring 12. Why? Because I'm going to prove to you that my God is right, and I'm right because I'm standing with him. It came to pass, the Bible says in verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, now look, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. Notice, and that I have done all of these things. What's those next three words? Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water. Why? How was Elijah able to stand up there like that? Because he was doing it at God's
word.
If you don't stay in that book, you're history.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
You are history.
That's right.
If I don't stay in that book, you don't think somebody's after me?
Oh, yeah.
You don't think my soul ever feels like cleaving to the dust? I don't want to tell you how often.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing to tell you how often. You don't think I ever feel like everybody's accusing me? Maybe they're right? Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing to tell you how often I feel that way.
Yeah.
You don't ever think that I go through affliction? Much?
Mm-hmm.
Preacher, but you just keep preaching.
Thank God.
I'm no different. I'm no different than you are.
Amen.
You know why? At thy word.
Amen.
If I don't stay in that book, this church, you're going to have to find a new pastor.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure.
Please don't say amen. My wife said amen. I know what she meant. I think. Y'all pray for me. You understand? I'm trying to be light, but seriously, if you're going to be in fellowship with the living Word of God, you better stay in the written Word.
That's right.
Yeah.
That fellowship is going to lead you closer to Jesus. Closer to God, excuse me, through Jesus. And God says, I've called you unto the fellowship of my Son. Listen, so you can draw closer to me.
Yeah.
You've got to get saved. That's the only way to get on the road.
Amen.
And then you got to stay in the Scripture. There's a lot more. But no more time today. Okay.